Father, we thank you for this precious gift. We thank you for Rose's heart, Father, just to come and sow. Thank you for her humility. Thank you for her faithfulness and obedience, God. Father, I ask that you bless her this morning. Bless her in this season of her life. Father, we thank you that your word says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard for what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. I thank you for the things that you've got prepared for her in this season, in Ireland and beyond, in the nations. Father, we thank you for the voice, this voice that you've used to bless so many around Cape Town, South Africa, and across the world. And we just honor her today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Welcome you.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be here this morning? Yeah. You know, they say if you can cheer up the miserable, then you can heal the sick. So when we come together as believers, there's always joy amongst us because the kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And so people that are religious can't handle it when we're too happy. But we need to tell our faces to get in line with what God is doing. And you know, around the world we have problems, but in God we are able to soar above the problems of this world. And so without him we are totally nothing. But I love it in Jeremiah 29. The Lord says, I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future and an expected end, which means that nothing, no one, and no circumstances can cut short what God has already ordained for you. While you were yet in your mother's womb, he already started to speak your destiny. Before the foundation of the earth, he already had a plan and a purpose for you. And the plan and the purpose is not of calamity, he says, but it is to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. The word of God says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not life nor death, not powers, not principalities. Yes, the enemy tries to bring confusion, but he has limited authority. And there are three things in our lives that will keep us steadfast, knowing that we are called, chosen, and set apart. The one is identity. The minute you understand who you are because you understand who God is, you already have a foundation that is unshakable. And so Father says, I want you to know who you are. I want you to know that you are loved. I want you to know that you are chosen. I want you to know that you've been set apart. I want you to know that you're the head and not the tail. I want you to know that you're above and not beneath. I want you to know that by the sound of your voice, every knee will bow because of the name of Jesus. I want you to know that you have authority on the earth and under the earth. I want you to know that that everything that has a name bows its knee at the name of Jesus. And so Father says, when you understand who you are because you understand who I am, I would like to say that in Ireland I see many people that are walking in an orphan spirit because they don't understand what it is to have an earthly father, but I would be limiting God by saying that that is what it is in Ireland, for that is what it is around the world. In our own nation, we are very much a fatherless generation, and we see young people growing up in blended families, mixed families, two mommies or two daddies, or just a total mess that is on the earth at this time because the enemy is having his last little thrust before Jesus puts his foot on the earth and the Prince of Peace arrives. He says, I am the Prince of Peace, and of my peace there'll be no end. And right now we say, where's this peace? And he says, if you hide in me, if you put your eyes on me, though the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard for you by my Spirit. And so sometimes God just wants to hide us in the shadow of the Almighty. In 2010, we as a nation hosted the Soccer World Cup. And people moaned because our carnal nature is negative. We can always find a reason why it's not going the way it should because of our carnal nature. And people said, oh, you do know that these guys that bring the Soccer World Cup, they take all the money out of your country, and we've got to spend so much money putting up new stadiums and roads and airports, and when they go, we will be poorer. And so I'm driving into Cape Town, going to the waterfront, and as I come around this very famous bend called Hospital Bend, it's on a highway with four lanes, I see a lady with a red flag. She's part of the construction crew, and she's showing people to turn wide because of the construction that's going on. And the Lord says to me, on the outside, she's doing her job, but on the inside, I want you to know she's one of my children. She is a believer, and that flag might be directing traffic, but inside she's worshiping God with that flag. I went, wow. We must not look with the natural eye. We need to look with the spiritual eye. And then the Lord started to speak to me about the changing of all our highways, the changing of the airport. He said, Rose, everybody thinks this is for a soccer ball, but this is actually an upgrading of this nation for the gospel. He said, the airports have been enlarged because I'm going to bring nations to you. He said, the stadiums have been built because the sound of the gospel will come from the stadium. The Cape Town Stadium can seat 60,000 people. And when we have somebody come through as a gospel singer or whatever, the 60,000 seats are taken. And we might still have 10,000 standing on the road at Table Mountain worshiping from a distance. Your nation and my nation, there's no difference because God is a God of the nations. And he says in Psalms, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. So people came from far and wide and they said, YWAM got on board. Now, I don't get commission for promoting any of these missions organizations. I'm just telling you the facts. And YWAM got on board, and they always use these big events for the gospel. And they had a local bakery bake bread, and they had a special metal mold that they put over the brown crust of the bread that had a scripture that says Jesus so loved the world that he sent his only son. Then they, on a machine, sliced the bread. They gave out soup and bread at the stadiums because it was raining so much and people were cold and people were eating the bread with this word printed on it. A friend of mine phoned me up from Stellenbosch, which is about an hour and a half's drive out of Cape Town, and said, I've got a piece in my freezer to show you. Taiwan got on board and they made little soccer balls that inside the little soccer ball, if you open it, were scriptures. And they gave out these little soccer balls and men put that little soccer ball in their pocket and took the word of God with them without them knowing it back to their children in other nations. You see, God, Jesus, can be Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, but I say he's Jehovah Sneaky. Because while we weren't expecting it, he snuck up on us. He's busy sneaking up on you in this nation. He wants to give you a red letter day. When I was sitting there, I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And he said, share with them what a red letter day is. A red letter day is, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says a red letter day is a day of celebration for somebody's birthday or something amazing that has happened. And so Father says, you as a nation are coming into a red letter day where he's going to change your status. What status is he going to change? First of all, he's going to change. I thought about this when the Lord originally gave me this word, and I said to the Lord, what status? And the first thing that came to mind was marital status. When I first developed speaking on a red letter day, I was still married to my husband and didn't know that 6 months later I would have a change of status, marital status. And yet, as I began to expound on it, and I was speaking with my mouth in my spirit here, out of your belly come streams of living water, in my belly here, even though I was still conducting the service here, inside here, I went, oh my goodness, Lord, are you speaking firstly to me? And so Father says there are many of you that have come to the city of Belfast to study or to find a new life. And Father says you will not walk alone. It's good to marry. But he also changes your social status and your spiritual status. The Word of God says it's good to desire a place in the house of the Lord. And some of you have come and attached yourself to this ministry, and Father says, it's time to change your status. It's time for you to belong. It's time for you to dig in. It's time for you to be like the tree in Psalm 1 that says, my roots will go down deep into the river, and people will come and climb up into your life as a tree to get sustenance, or sit under your life as a tree to get into the shade because they've been burnt by circumstances. And so Father says, your status is changing from Miss to Mrs. or from Mr. to Mr. There's no change for a man in that status. In the wide world, some women are called MS because they don't want people to know if they're Miss or Mrs. It's quite crazy, but it doesn't matter. These things don't really bother God. So the first status that God wants to change is marital status. And I've said this in other nations, and I want you to hear me clearly, especially if it goes out beyond this building. There are even people that are moving out of marital, being married because of abuse. And God says, I want to come and restore that relationship, but if it's not possible, he says, I want you to know that I am your healer. And I will bring you to the place of release. God is not the author of divorce, but God will protect you in your circumstances. The second change of status is, think of it, what, change of status, it's normally on a form. It says, what is your health or medical status when you fill out a form? Father says, I'm about to change your health status. Your medical status. Cancer has to bow its knee. He says, AIDS has to go. He said, in me you are totally whole. He said, "No, Psalm 91, no disease shall come anywhere near your dwelling. I know this scripture so well. In 2003, which is a long time ago, was the first time that I went to Rwanda. And I was gung-ho with my bags, going to the car. My father, who was 81, said, he called me Angel. Angel, that father commanding voice, come here. And I'm going, my husband's really revving the car. I need to get on a plane. He says, come here, Angel. And he read Psalm 91 to me. And he said to me, prayed with me. And he said, Lord, let my heart be glad when she returns. He was old. He lived with us as a family. Lo and behold, I felt he was taking too long. But when I got to Rwanda and preaching in this conference for women and young girls, because after the genocide where 1.2 million people were murdered in 90 days, they passed a law that girls and women were not allowed to grieve in public. And so this church called Zion Temple organized this conference for these girls and women to come to a place of healing. And 11,000 people turned up every day for a week. And one night as I got back to my accommodation, I saw three little dots where mosquitoes had bypassed all the stuff you put on Tabard and all those things. And I contracted cerebral malaria. Not just malaria, cerebral malaria. And so after going to the doctors there and getting the diagnosis, and my friends, a preaching team of five women, looked at the certificate and they went, you're not preaching. We're going to pray you through the night. And as I lay on my bed about to succumb to this medical status, I remembered somebody, I think it was Mario Cirilla, I think it was him. He said, when I go to heaven one day, I'm going feet first. Because all the way up, I'm going to be boxing that devil and telling him that he didn't win. And I said to my team, I am not lying in this bed waiting for death because I don't know how cerebral malaria works. We are going to the church and I'm going to minister. And I remember ministering a message called, How Big Are Your Feet? The Lord gave me this title and I argued with the Lord and I said to him, can't I just ask them in my opening of my message, what size shoes are you wearing, Lord? How big are your feet? Sounds very rude. But he started to speak about feet that go to nations. He started to speak about feet that trample and have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. He started to speak about the feet that bring good news. And so while I was on the platform, I was flowing with Holy Spirit. But when I came down, I was very pale. And my friend said to me, you need to sit down because you look so pale. But before I could sit down, one of those beautiful Rwandese ladies grabbed me and she started to dance. Now, they don't do the two-step that we do in charismatic church. Two-step is, I love you, Lord, and it's two here, and it's two there. They dance. They even got a dance called the peacock dance, where they flap themselves like this, and then you do the same. And an hour later, I was finished with this dance. And I realized that as long as I was ministering and standing in the things of the Spirit, I had no symptoms of this disease. But when I sat down, I felt like my brain was swelling and my internal organs were swelling. So we sent a message home, and my home church that we our pastor, they prayed for about 12 hours into the night. And then eventually the following Wednesday, flew back into South Africa, went straight to the travel clinic, and they did the test, and there was no trace of malaria. None. Because God is bigger than your health status. And he says, in this kingdom, I'm changing your marital status and I'm changing your health status. Then we ask God, well, what other status is there? He says, there's a financial status. And I don't know your banks here, but when you go to your bank manager, he may say to you, do you know what? You're bankrupt. But that's not really your status. Because in Christ, you are more than an overcomer and a conqueror. He is a good father. He owns the treasury of heaven. He opens up the supply that is needed because God doesn't work in addition. For him, two and two don't make four. God works in fold, and he unfolds in fold what is needed. If he orders something, he pays for it. If you're swapping and going to nations, you don't have to be afraid, because if Father sent you, he'll make sure that you're not only commissioned to go, but that he will complete you in your going and he will provide for you. And so Father says, even as a nation, I remember being here in Dublin in the time of the Celtic Tiger when everything crashed and everybody thought that all the young South Africans went home because they lost their jobs. No, sometimes God uses circumstances because of his timing, and all those young people went home because they'd been trained as a younger generation for the revival that is about to come. God will bring you into nations and take you out of nations and place you in nations according to his purposes and the fullness of time. God isn't one bit moved by our dripping or our nagging. Not at all. And when I drip or nag and say, Lord, it's not fair, and so-and-so said this and that says that, you know what he said to me? Grow up, Rose. That's what life is about. I went, I thought you were such a good father. Now you're not on my side. He said, I want to bring my church into a place called a mature anointing that you are not affected by people's opinions. He said to me, for how long will you be persuaded by people's opinions? He said, my opinion is all that matters. Then there's another change of status, that's your health status. So today, if you're sitting here and you have something, reject it. Do not receive the status that has been written. Because all of those things that are written have been placed on the cross already. I once went to a doctor, I was diagnosed with psoriasis. I came back to the church office. They said, what did the doctor say? I said, nothing. They said, what do you mean nothing? I said, I refuse to align myself with the diagnosis. And that was the last I ever heard of it. Didn't have it, haven't got it, not getting it. Sometimes we have to be adamant not to sign for the package that the enemy brings. You know, when they bring a thing at the door, you're so excited, and it's not even for you, it's for somebody in your family. I'll sign, here's my ID, I'll sign. And God says, just reject it. The enemy might throw a spanner in your works or a ball towards you, a ball of discouragement towards you. Don't let it settle in your spirit. Reject it before it's even come anywhere near you. And so the other status that I want to speak about is a national status. He's going to change your national status. For us in South Africa, our national status is junk status. Our favor around the world and the monetary system and even, you know, working with other nations dropped to junk status. And you having a fight with Brexit right now, and you're not sure if it's good or bad. I'm telling you, South Africans don't live in isolation. They know about you, as they know about America, and they know about Donald Trump, and they know what's going on in the world. Missionaries come to my home when my children were little, and my children will sit them down and quiz them. Do you have chicken in your country? What kind of money do you use? How does it work? What does a chicken cost? I don't know why. They always thought missionaries only lived on chicken. They always asked about chicken. And the Americans said, we are so amazed at your children that they have a world view when most people only have a state view. And so Father says, I'm going to change your national status, Island. I'm going to bring down the dividing walls between groups, ethnic groups, and religious groups. I'm going to bring down the divide between north and south. Watch and see what I'm about to do, because I am going to surprise you, because I'm the God of the suddenlies. As you have embraced other nations from around the world, you have received them into your heart. In the same way, I will tear down and receive these to north and south as one loaf, one lump, one people. And the things that man has put in, I'm going to topple it, says the Father, because this is your season of reward and my season of suddenlies. Where do we hear about the suddenlies of God? In the upper room, in the book of Acts. There were 500 of them waiting for the Holy Spirit. But guess what? The majority always gets tired of waiting. And they dwindle to 120. It says, and suddenly the sound of a rushing wind came into the upper room, and 120 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and each one had a flame of fire above his head. When I read it, I went, isn't that amazing, Lord? It wasn't just the 10 leaders, and they had to lay hands on the other 110 for them to impart it. Everyone from big, remember there was only 12 disciples, 12 apostles, but there was 120, so it was leaders and believers mixed, and each one got the same portion as a fiery fire, tongue of fire was on each one's head, and that was a time of God suddenly. For us as people that are calling out for revival, for God to bring his peace upon the earth, it's going to happen suddenly. Do you know that when Noah was built, had to build the ark, he'd never seen an ark in his life? There is potential locked inside of you that you have no idea about until you begin to let God pull it out. Give him permission to take the stone off of your well. He wants you to build by his Spirit, by his Spirit. Another suddenly is when Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, on the way there, there'll be a storm. But don't worry, guys, I will be with you. He said, we're going to the other side. And suddenly there was a storm. And Jesus stood up in the boat as they cried, but we're going to perish. And the storm was silenced. So God says, I'm about to come in a suddenly upon this nation and change it forever. I'm going to come in this fullness of time where this earth is groaning now for sons and daughters to be manifest. I've just met a 20 young old, how do you say that, a 20-year-old that has got a call by God to go to Africa, to Zambia, and to do 7 huge crusades. He's 20 years of age. And Father says, I'm going to come upon you suddenly and send you to the nations. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that you have a red letter day for your people. Father, I thank you that our status, from our health status, our financial status, and our national status is about to change. I thank you, God, that you do what you do because of the fullness of time. And even though we pray and try and hasten you on, you have exactly the timing. May we not get weary in well-doing and waiting, but may we continue to press in by the Spirit. May we know who we are. May we know our identity. May we know our gift and calling. And may we know our placement. And as we take hold of those 3 things, Father, we know that vision will begin to arise inside of us. Vision for our lives, vision for our family, and vision for our nation. We want you to know, Father, that we love you. Thank you for the kisses of heaven. Keep kissing us. Keep pouring yourself. Keep pouring your love out on us. Maybe you, even with your eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you don't know the love of Father God. And maybe you're just saying, I need more of the love of Father. You're just so welcome while you're sitting there just to raise your hands towards heaven. And as you raise your hands towards heaven, you are indicating to a good Father that you need more of him. So, Father, let your anointing come. Fill us with your love. Yes, Father's pouring it out on you. I can see it. It's like honeycomb being tipped out. It says, I'm loving on you this morning. He said, it's not how hard you work. It's about your availability to me. And he says, I love you with an everlasting love. I've not forgotten you. I know exactly what I'm doing with you. I haven't bypassed you. He says, I'm just turned the page and you're on a new page. I'm mixing colors to paint this picture that you've never seen before. But it will be to benefit you and not to break you, for I am a good Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your unfailing love. Father says, I am releasing fresh and new anointings in this place. He says, do you not feel it, even in your belly? Even right now, he says, it's beginning to be your new day. You will feel a groundswell and a confidence beginning to come inside of you that you have longed for, and no longer will you feel overrun by your circumstances. You will feel as if Father put a rod of steel in your back and you no longer can be pushed over by people's opinion. It's called courageous. He says, I come with my courageous anointing upon you this day. My courageous anointing. You'll be as bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. He says, I'm pouring out wisdom that goes beyond your normal understanding. And people will seek you out and ask you about things. And you'll find yourself giving answers that you never knew. Because he said, if you open your mouth, I will fill your mouth with a good report. He says, I've not called you just to be a field that sits in the pew every week. I've called you to be fishers of men. I've called you to be those that will heal the brokenhearted and set the captive free. If you're in this place today and you're saying, Lord, use me, then I want you to stand to your feet and say, use me. Lift your hands to God and say, use me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Come in your suddenly upon my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Unearth in me the gift and calling that is upon me. fire, oh God, the fire of God, the fire of God in this place, the fire of God, the fire of God. You don't need somebody with a hot hand to lay hands on you. The fire of God has come from heaven this day so that you will change your territory. You will change your territory.